Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my
heart
be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
In the second lesson for today, St. Paul is contemplating his own death, which he believes is imminent. He does not see it as a tragedy. He simply sees it at the end of his work on earth. He calls the time of his departure, "I have fought the good fight," he says. And that fight, as our baptismal rite, is the fight against sin, the world, and the devil. "I have finished the course," he continues. "I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me on that day." This is a reference to the Greek athletic events in which the winners were given crowns woven from olive branches and laurel. It also may be a reference to the scene depicted in the Apocrypha book of 2 Esdras. There is some disagreement about when that book was written and whether St. Paul had access to it. As I read this passage to you, if you feel comfortable, you might want to just close your eyes and kind of imagine the scene. "I, Ezra, saw on Mount Zion a great multitude which I could not number, and they were all praising the Lord with songs. In their midst was a young man of great stature, taller than any of the others, and on the head of each of them he placed a crown. But he was more glorious than they, and I was spellbound. Then I asked an angel, 'Who are these, my Lord?' He answered and said to me, 'These are they who have put off mortal clothing and have put on immortal. And they have confessed the name of God, now that they are being crowned and received psalms.' Then I said to the angel, 'Who is this young man who places crowns on them and puts palms in their hand?' He answered and said, 'He is the Son of God, whom they confessed in the world.'" This apocryphal book was obviously written during a time when the church was under persecution. And it depicts the reward of martyrs. The word martyr means a witness, and it has come to refer those who have given choice between death and apostasy, chose to pay the price of physical death rather than abandoning their faith. They followed the words of Jesus in St. Matthew: "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." But St. Paul does not say that the crown of righteousness will be given only to them. The Lord will give it, he says, to all who love his appearing. That's good news for us. In this country, we're free to bear witness of our faith without fear of execution. But there are Christians in Africa and Asia who are being murdered even as I speak because they refuse to convert to Islam, or because they go to church or read the Bible or talk about Jesus. How ashamed should we be because our witness is so feeble compared to those? Nevertheless, the apostle includes among those who will be given crowns all of us who love the appearance of Christ on earth and look forward to his coming again. The psalmist says that a human lifespan is 70, or perhaps 80 years, but that is by no means a guarantee. There are people here today who have exceeded that age, and there have been many who have died before reaching it. Death for us and for all men marks the end of our work in this world. It is up to God to decide when that will be. The Lord gives and the Lord takes on his own schedule. St. Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter and expected to be executed. He was prepared to die. But he also prepared himself to live. He requested Timothy to come and bring him some things he would need to continue his work. A cloak to keep him warm as winter was approaching. Some books, some parchments, which are animal skins, much more durable than papyrus. The apostle intended to serve the Lord and the church right up to the very end. And that is the attitude which you and I must look upon our time in this world. As Yogi Berra is alleged to have said, it ain't over till it's over. In a final prayer of communion service, we pray that we may do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. I have often wondered what those might be. I still do. But whatever they may be, it is my duty and my privilege to do them. It is your duty and privilege as well. Let us pray. Almighty God, who alone gave us the breath of life and alone keep alive in us the holy desires thou dost impart, we beseech thee for thy compassion's sake to sanctify all our thoughts and endeavors, that we may neither bring an action without a pure intention nor continue it without thy blessing. And grant that having the eyes of the mind open to behold things invisible and unseen, we may in heart be inspired by thy wisdom and in work be upheld by thy strength and in the end be accepted of thee as thy faithful servants through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen.